Welcome to the All IVF Ever Wanted podcast with
Gareth
and
Emma.
That's me. Documenting our next and possibly final round of IVF. This process will be keeping me sane and probably driving Gareth
a little bit crazy.
So we hope that this does also help you guys as well. So enjoy the episode. Hi guys, and welcome to this episode of All IVF Ever Wanted. And in this episode, I've got Eva Stett with me, and she is the lady that was doing my acupuncture for me when I was in London doing our last IVF cycle. And she was getting me ready for my egg retrieval in the week, 2 weeks leading up to that. And I will be seeing Eva again when I go back for my transfer. So Eva, without any more ado, welcome, and how are you?
Nice to see you. Thanks for inviting me. I'm very well, thanks.
Good. So Eva, I do have some questions that people have sent in, but before we get into questioning your knowledge and, you know, picking your brains, could you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and how you've ended up working in this circle of acupuncture and really specifically with fertility support?
Yes, so my background in dancing, so I lived in Hungary, in Budapest, and I used to be a professional dancer. And I always wanted to speak English, and then I came to London. And I had a boyfriend at that time whose auntie was a medical doctor, but at the same time, an acupuncturist. And she started treating us. And then I was just really super curious that how on earth I got better, I felt better, I had more energy. So this is how I actually put into studying acupuncture. I went to Westminster University, so I studied there. And after graduation, I got a job at the Zetoves Clinic, which is, it still has been a very unique IVF clinic now. It hasn't been an IVF clinic when I started. It was just a complementary fertility clinic for couples to come, and then we had different kinds of therapies available, helping them to conceive naturally at that time. And then in 2011, it has become an IVF clinic. So we had lots of doctors, nurses, midwives as well, coming to the clinic and work with us. So I learned a lot from the medical side of fertility, you know, from all these doctors as well. So it was really, really interesting time for me. I don't work at the Zetoves Clinic anymore. So I work at the London Acupuncture Clinic, and this is where my main practice is. And apart from acupuncture, I do offer other therapies as well, but my main service is basically based around acupuncture. So it was really, from the beginning, it was very clear to me that I will be working with women, with couples, and in the field of fertility. So over the years, I learned a lot about this business, specifically here in the UK and London. I got to know many, many doctors, many professionals, medical professionals, also complementary health practitioners who help women to get pregnant or couples to get pregnant. I know many IVF clinics, and more or less I know who specializes in what. So I have a really good understanding how to guide clients, which clinic to pick, where to go to, which doctor to see. And then I know, because I know what their fertility challenges are, and then I'm more kind of equipped helping them where to go to.
Because I mean, I think when you get into the world of infertility, I think if you're not in it or not living it, you can think that everybody's infertility problems are the same, but there's so many different little avenues you can go down and so many different hurdles that you can come up against. And just because I'm struggling with infertility doesn't mean that someone else who is got the same challenges. They can be entirely different. So you having that kind of awareness and all of these relationships that you've built, you know, I can see how that's so valuable to your patients, because certain doctors have a keen interest in some things and, you know, more than others, right? So Eva, now here's the thing. I have, from my well, last year, so we did a round in January, retrieval February, round in February, retrieval March. And after the first one didn't go well, I then started acupuncture for my second one. Now, I don't really know why I started. I didn't do a lot of research, is the truth. I didn't really know why I was doing it. I just knew that everyone else in this world was going, make sure you have acupuncture, it helps. Make sure you see a fertility specialist, acupuncturist, it helps. So I just did it. Now, can you tell me why? Why do we do it? Why does it help? What are the benefits?
Yes, I think probably there are more and more research actually done on the benefit of having acupuncture for natural conception as well as IVF as well. I remember when I started my practice many, many years ago, we used to concentrate on only giving acupuncture on the day of embryo transfer. Mm-hmm. So there was this study that came out in 2002. Confirmed that women who had acupuncture only on the day of transfer actually really significantly raised pregnancy rates in general. And then there were follow-up studies, and then the results were slightly inconclusive. So some studies could actually provide the same results. Some other studies didn't show any difference at all. And then, so they started adding more treatments actually to that one, that specific one on the day of transfer. So now women were given acupuncture in those specific studies around stimulation time as well. So mm-hmm. two treatments during stimulation and then two on the day of embryo transfer. Again, the results were in some studies inconclusive. Again, some studies did show really good results, some others mm-hmm. not. But very interestingly, there is an acupuncturist in the US who used to work on site in an IVF clinic, and then she collected a data for 5 years. She was giving acupuncture to women, but what she actually came to a conclusion that all those women who had acupuncture at least 12 or 15 times before they embryo transferred doubled the pregnancy rates. Mm. So it just seems to be now that the number of treatments is just as significant as only focusing on receiving one treatment on the day of embryo transfer. Mm-hmm. I can, and then this is exactly what I see in my clinic as well. So mm-hmm. all those women who come on a regular basis, they have a much higher pregnancy rates compared to those ones who just randomly just drop into the clinic for some treatments. Mm-hmm. So I think this is why, because there's so much out there now and women do realize, and especially those ones who have benefited from having acupuncture, that actually it's just the words are spreading very quickly, mm-hmm. And women in general do enjoy having acupuncture as well. So they mm-hmm. find it as a very relaxing experience on top of all that.
Mm-hmm. But what does it actually do? So we know that it helps. So I'd like mm-hmm. to break it down into two parts. So let's start with the frequency first. Uh-huh. So some people will have IVF, they will have a retrieval, they will have a fresh transfer, which means that the whole treatment is done in that one cycle. And then other people, like myself, for various reasons, will do a retrieval, they will freeze their embryos, whether it's because it's their hormone levels dictate that it's better to wait for the transfer because of the treatment's been overstimulating for them. Or in my case, you're having PGTA, or if you're a carrier, PGTD testing. Uh-huh. So if you are preparing for a retrieval, uh-huh. how far in advance should you be starting acupuncture to get the best optimization?
Yes, I think it's 3 months. So mm-hmm. that's the ideal. Now, obviously, there are many women who is not able to actually commit to 3 months of treatments, which mm-hmm. you know, I do understand. And I always support, you know, all my clients, regardless when they start the acupuncture. I think mm-hmm. it's never too late to start acupuncture. Mm-hmm. But what basically research shows to us so far that the earlier you start, the better. And then the reason for that is because if you think about that, what we are trying to do is basically improving the microenvironment in the ovaries, right? Mm-hmm. So it takes roughly 3 months until a follicle becomes an ovulatory follicle, and mm-hmm. then it releases an egg. Mm-hmm. And then it needs 3 months of kind of improvement, development. And then we are trying to actually control, not to control, but influence the mm-hmm. microenvironment in which the follicles are growing mm-hmm. to be a really healthy egg by the time it releases the egg. Mm-hmm. So when you start your stimulation, basically the doctors will be working with all those follicles and eggs that they have started developing 3 months mm-hmm. before.
Mm-hmm. So this kind of falls into line with what we've been talking about a lot on the podcast with nutrition, and
yes,
is talking about how we need to be doing our 12-week prep before retrieval, because it's taking that 12 weeks, you know, nutritionally, exactly. supplementary. So acupuncture is just the same, right? So we're talking about optimizing that environment for the ovaries, yes. and the follicles, and we're starting at the same time as our nutrition and our yes. supplements, right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So if you have a fresh transfer after your stimulation, mm-hmm. We recommend clients in general to have a pregnancy test in, you know, 10, 12, 14 days time. If it's positive, then we still carry on seeing clients in the first trimester. I quite like to treat actually on a regular basis. And then once you have your week 12 scan and everything is normal, mm-hmm. then I just cut out on treatment. So I might just see clients once a month, once in every 5 or 6 mm-hmm. weeks, and then we can speed up again around week 36-ish. Mm-hmm. So that's for preparation for delivery.
So if we did a fresh transfer, so mm-hmm. we've done, so for me, for example, in the 12 weeks before, I was having acupuncture once a week. Uh-huh. When I got to you, and in the 10, 12 days, you know, leading up to my yes. retrieval, I saw you, I think, 3 times.
Yes.
And then I had my retrieval. Yes. But say I'd gone on to have a fresh transfer, would I have seen you again before transfer?
Yes. So you mean that you will be doing another stimulation straight away?
No. Say that I'd done a retrieval and then I was having a fresh transfer.
Yes.
I did frozen, right? But say I was staying and I was going to just have that embryo transferred straight back in, would I have seen you again? So I saw you 3 times before retrieval.
Yes, you would.
I would.
Yes, you would, on the day of embryo transfer.
Okay, yes. Fine. So on a transfer, what do we do? Tell mm-hmm. me.
Yes, exactly. So we follow the Paulus protocol. That's exactly the protocol, actually, I was mm-hmm. referring to, that was actually mm-hmm. conducted in 2002. Mm-hmm. And so they designed a set of points for mm-hmm. pre-transfer and post-transfer. The mm-hmm. aim is pretty much similar with the two treatments, is basically helping blood flow systemically and then also to the reproductive organs, and as well as relaxing the muscles, especially mm-hmm. in the and ligaments, especially in the first treatment, mm-hmm. and also some points helping your body to relax as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But you will get 2 different sets of points. So the points are quite different from your first session compared to the second session. We like to treat as close as possible to your transfer. I mean, obviously, if you are close to the clinic and us, it's easy. But still, you know, even if you have to travel, we do see clients. I always recommend them, just take everything easy. You don't have to rush at all. You know, mm-hmm. don't get, you know, like really anxious, you know, if mm-hmm. you get stuck in traffic or anything like that. Just come and then we will treat you whenever you are in the clinic.
Mm-hmm. So say they're close. I say my transfer's at 10 a.m. Uh-huh. on a Tuesday. When do I come to see you?
Yeah, so probably I would love to see you 9 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then we finish the treatment around 9:30 or just a little bit later. I know where your clinic is, and then I know it's just like a couple of minutes walk from where we mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. And then you just walk into your clinic, you check in, and then you are at 10 o'clock for your transfer.
And then I have my transfer, and then I see you again when the same day.
Yes, yes, exactly, on the same day. So once you've done your transfer, if they don't keep you in the clinic for any reason, some clinics, you know, they would give you intralipids, for example, and then they'd like to do it straight away after your transfer, then you will stay for your intralipids. If not, you just come back to the clinic straight away. And then we treat you, and then you can go and then have lunch, or, you know, just to chill out for the afternoon.
So it's all quite quick, isn't it? It's all quite intense for transfer, really.
Yeah, it's a lot is going on the transfer, I have to say. And then most of the clients I see as well, normally they do not sleep really well the previous night. So it's pretty much in an anxiety-filled day, what normally I perceive from clients. And it's so interesting to see that once the pre-transfer acupuncture is done, even their face complexion changes completely. So they feel much more relaxed. I quite like to use as well like guided meditation. So I've got a few options I can put on. Obviously not everyone has to listen to any kind of guided meditation, but it just gives you some kind of focus, so you're not really thinking about, you know, lying on the couch, that is it going to go ahead, is it going to be okay, but actually someone is talking to you through what's going on, and then helping you to relax as well. It's an important day, I think.
Yeah, well, frankly.
I think it's one of the most important days to come in my opinion, for acupuncture.
And then for someone like me, for example, not doing a fresh transfer, so I've had a big gap between my retrieval and my frozen transfer. So I've elected just myself to just resume my weekly acupuncture. So I have it every Tuesday. And then as I come up to transfer, I just keep doing it once a week until I have my transfer day. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it doesn't mean that you are done now and then you're just going to go and have your frozen embryo transfer and have acupuncture only on the day of your transfer. But we do encourage clients actually to carry on, because you still have to have a really good blood flow to your reproductive system, specifically to your uterus. You know, there was a very interesting study that was conducted by a Swedish scientist. So she's not even an acupuncturist, but she's very much interested in women's health in general. And specifically interested in women having polycystic ovarian syndrome, which we both know that it's a metabolic, both a metabolic and a hormonal imbalance problem. And then as a result, women do not ovulate regularly, and then they do not have regular menstruation either. Normally the luteinizing hormone, testosterone hormones are quite high as well. And then also they might have blood sugar issues, sensitivities, and then also insulin sensitivity as well. So she conducted this research giving women electroacupuncture. I think it was like nearly 2 or 3 months. And the result of her study was that women actually, she looked at, actually, this is not what I wanted to say here, but she was exactly the same scientist as well. But also what she looked at is something called the pulsatile index of the endometrial artery. So what this means is that they can measure with Doppler scan how optimal is the blood flow to the reproductive organs. It is really important because the blood carries everything. It carries the oxygen, it carries hormones, it carries your nutrients as well. The lower the PI number, the better the blood flow to your pelvis. And then when she looked at the PI number, basically women who had 8 electroacupuncture sessions had a much better blood flow to the pelvic organs compared to those ones actually who didn't have acupuncture. So I found it really interesting. And then in fact, she when she stopped giving the acupuncture, and 2 weeks later, she had a look at the PI number for those women, it was still in the lower range. So it just seemed that, you know, it really maintained a very good blood flow to the pelvis. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the reasons, you know, I do recommend women to carry on with acupuncture. So even if you have a frozen transfer and you have a gap, mm-hmm. let's say a month gap, mm-hmm. between your recollection and your next transfer, I think mm-hmm. it's quite important that you still carry on with acupuncture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because it's all about, the little I know about it is that the benefits is, you know, increasing blood flow to certain areas, yes. of the body and keeping that going.
Yes.
And for transfer, we're looking to get a really nice thick endometrium lining, you know, the, yes. lining of our uterus, because,
yes.
we need that to be nice and thick so that we have a really good chance of implantation happening and staying, right? So okay, so I'm gonna ask you some questions, mm-hmm. that have been sent in by some of my followers when I said that I was speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
So what does Eva recommend for patients with premature ovarian failure? Can acupuncture help?
I think it's a very complex question, because, mm-hmm. obviously, you know, in those cases, acupuncture is not a magic bullet.
No.
So we need to see the whole picture, what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. So hormone levels, how do they look like? What's your FSH looks like?
Mm-hmm.
How many intrafollicles you have?
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to get pregnant naturally, or, mm-hmm. actually are you thinking about doing an IVF? Mm-hmm. Have you seen a fertility nutritionist?
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking supplements, you know, that can help equality in general? Mm-hmm. How is your health overall? Have you got any kind of gynae issues, you know, that might actually, you know, have an impact on you getting pregnant? So with the acupuncture, definitely what I see, you know, sometimes in practice as well, that women who haven't got, let's say, many intrafollicles, and then they start doing acupuncture, and then their recruitment is much better. Mm-hmm. So, you know, suddenly from 2 intrafollicles, they have 5 intrafollicles,
mm-hmm.
which can be quite significant, you know, when you have, like, you know, a low, mm-hmm. ovarian reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then again, preparation is extremely important for those women, right? So, mm-hmm. whatever is natural conception or IVF, but then me as an acupuncturist, I would have to see the whole picture, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I can put together a very personalized plan for the client, which I think, you know, based on my 18 years of practice, might improve her chances.
Mm-hmm.
But then just looking at acupuncture itself, I don't think that would be the right advice to do, but definitely you would consider acupuncture in your treatment plan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I think what's important for people to understand is there is no one road that's going to fix what you've got going on, and it has to be a holistic all-round 360 approach, right? So for example, I was told that I would be lucky if I got 2 eggs per cycle. Now my first cycle, that's exactly what I got, 2 eggs. And the second cycle, I got more. And this cycle was my best cycle yet. But this cycle is the first cycle where I've done a full 12-week prep. I've looked at acupuncture. I've looked at nutrition. I've looked at supplements. I've looked at my testosterone levels. I've looked at my vitamin D levels. You know, I've gone and turned over every stone,
absolutely.
That I'm aware of. Now, if I'd just done my vitamin D, if I'd just done my DHA, if I'd just done, you know, my nutrition but not my supplements, if I'd just done acupuncture but not nutrition, I don't believe we'd have had the same results that we've had.
Yes.
So I think there's no, when you've got low antral follicle count, which I do, you know, I know AMH isn't the be all and end all, but when teamed with other things, it is indicative of a low ovarian reserve. When you have got low numbers, we can't suddenly reverse time and be 21 again, right?
Yeah.
All we can do, yeah. Sadly, guys, sadly.
Yes.
I wish we could. And I wish Eva had a magic wand too. But what we
I'm always looking for a magic bullet.
Yeah, please.
So people who know me, they know, like, I come up with all sorts of things, but what I have learned over the years, there's no magic bullet.
No. But all we can do is optimize, right?
Absolutely.
What we've got and support what we've got.
Yes, it's a project.
Yes.
I mean, I'm afraid to say that because it feels like, but it is a project, right?
No, it really is.
Yeah. But I have to say that, I mean, I had a couple of clients over the years, obviously, and then they had very low intrafollicular count. And I remember there was one lady I treated for quite a long time, actually. I was seeing her more than a year or 2 years, and then she only had two follicles all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had several IVF cycles, but in one cycle, actually, it's important as well to catch a good cycle as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Regardless of your preparation,
mm-hmm.
but obviously preparation does count in my opinion. But anyway, so she had one egg retrieved that's fertilized out mm-hmm. of two follicles, and mm-hmm. then she ended up with twins mm-hmm. because it split.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really interesting. So all sorts of things can happen. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. I see cases like, oh my God, how am I going to be able to help here? And oh, yeah. And sometimes, you know, they just walk into the into my room and they say, I'm pregnant. I said, what? So anything can happen. So quite frankly, I never, ever write off anyone at all because I just saw such extreme cases. And then, you know, you just have to have hope and then just really stick to your plan.
That's it. What else have we got here? Is there anything... No, I'm not gonna. I think we've answered that one. This one, though. So this is an interesting one. I never feel relaxed like the stories I hear. I feel like it's another chore and a shoehorn in to try and improve chances. If I don't enjoy it and I don't feel relaxed, is it still helping me, or am I wasting my time, my money, and is it not helping me?
I think it always comes down to a personal choice. I mean, I would say 99% of my clients feel relaxed during the mm-hmm. treatment. And in fact, those ones who have needle phobia, actually, I convert them and then they, mm-hmm. they do like the treatment after all. And then I can even do electroacupuncture. Saying that, I think there will be always some women who just don't enjoy acupuncture at yeah. all. But, you know, there are other therapies you can try. So you mm-hmm. can try, for example, reflexology.
Mm-hmm.
Which is absolutely, you know, when it comes to what does the needle do? How does it work exactly? And then, you know, from the Western medical perspective, you know, what they found out that when we place needles in the body, then it has an impact on the central nervous system. And then what happens is there are certain neurotransmitters or chemicals released in the body, and then that helps the body to relax, dilate the blood vessels, mm-hmm. and then helping the body's natural ability to heal itself. So it's not the needles that are healing you. It's basically you heal yourself. Mm-hmm. It's just helping the body's ability, natural ability to heal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is what we do. So I think the same goes for reflexology as well. And then mm-hmm. there are so many reflexologists out there specializes in fertility. So they exactly know what points to kind of press on the soles of your feet. So if you don't enjoy acupuncture, then please don't suffer on the couch because no. you can do so much other stuff, you know, mm-hmm. that can help you at the same time.
Mm. And that's it. You know, if you are very, very stressed out doing it, then it's probably just yes. not for you, right? Find something that is for you. And
absolutely.
As you say, you know, reflexology is a great yes. tip if needles aren't your thing.
Absolutely.
That's okay.
Yoga, for example, is really good as well.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. You can try fertility massage. You know, this is the other thing I also do. And then it's a great way also helping a fertility.
Mm. What do you do in a fertility massage?
Yeah, so basically I studied different types of techniques. So I started with abdominal massage, sacral mm-hmm. and abdominal massage. Then I studied medical Qiyina massage.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the traditional Chinese medicine system. So I did a 1-year diploma course. But at the same time, I also trained with Dr. Jennifer Mercier. I'm not sure if you are... you know, familiar with the Mercier therapy. So Jennifer Mercier is had actually very severe endometriosis. And then she realized when she started kind of poking her tummy and then just helping the blood flow, she was always in severe pain. Mm-hmm. It really helped her pain, especially when she was menstruating. So endometriosis is one of those conditions, you know, that is accompanied by severe abdominal pain, mm-hmm. especially when you menstruate. And so she developed the Mercier therapy, the Mercier technique, mm-hmm. which is a kind of physical therapy on the abdomen and mm-hmm. then on the sacrum. Mm-hmm. And then the idea is mobilizing structures in the pelvis as well as reproductive organs, mm-hmm. helping the blood flow, helping scarrings as well, softening the scarrings. Mm-hmm. And then in her research, what she noticed that women who have 6 consecutive treatments, she has a really high success rate for natural conception as mm-hmm. well as for IVF. Mm. Now, there are not many Mercier therapy practitioners in the UK, but maybe 3 or 4 of us in London.
Mm.
So that's a very specific one. So personally, if someone asks me specifically for Mercier therapy, I do Mercier therapy. But otherwise, I kind of developed my own system of fertility massage. Mm-hmm. Combining all the techniques that I have learned over the years. And then sometimes mm-hmm. I do an hour session where I do like half an hour, 40 minutes of massage, and the rest of the 20 minutes is acupuncture. Mm-hmm. And then recently I brought in low-level laser therapy that mm-hmm. directly impacts mitochondrial function. Again, you know, when it comes to air quality issues, mitochondria is huge. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you get the whole shebang. In a treatment.
Very good. And this kind of brings me on to, you know, like this bit about being stressed as well, because my uh-huh. my husband cannot bear needles. Like he finds needles and things very stressful. But is it true that acupuncture can also help sperm quality?
Yes, absolutely. There are research out there as well. I mean, obviously, probably morphology is the most difficult, I think, in my opinion, to improve, but motility definitely count as well. Mm-hmm. Again, when I work with male clients, it's not just the acupuncture. Mm-hmm. I really need to understand that what is the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Why, you know, some of the parameters are quite low. And mm-hmm. I work with Melanie Brown, nutritionist, who is, mm-hmm. Specializes in male fertility, as well as a few urologists as well in London. Mm-hmm. So I can refer clients if I think that the acupuncture is not going to be just enough mm-hmm. to improve sperm quality in general. So we have to look at the whole pictures again. So it's mm-hmm. not just the acupuncture. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's just acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I bring in other therapies as well.
But, you know, in this instance, for example, someone like Gareth, like what we were just talking about mm-hmm. if doing this will be relaxing or stressful, for him, it may help with his sperm, but he would be so stressed, he'd be sweating from head to toe with stress, that for him it wouldn't be beneficial, because the stress outweighs the good it would bring.
Absolutely.
In that instance, right? So we had to take it on an individual sort of person by person basis.
Absolutely.
And I think we've answered it. So the other questions were, at what stage of the cycle is it best to get acupuncture? But we've kind of answered that.
Mm-hmm.
And how often? And I think we've answered that too. The only question that we haven't answered perhaps is, so let's say, you know, the thing that we're all aiming for is to get pregnant. So let's say we do get pregnant. Mm-hmm. How would acupuncture fit into pregnancy?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, I quite like to treat in the first trimester. The reason for that most women I work with, they normally do have quite competitive jobs, for example. And I just feel sometimes that they need some sort of relaxation, a relaxation that is, you are not you know, watching television or sitting in front of the TV, but something, something else that can fully, fully relax. And for that reason, I quite encourage all my clients to come and have acupuncture in the first trimester. So obviously we cannot really overcome, you know, any chromosomal abnormalities. And then I make it clear to all my clients. But basically, the aim is still helping your system to relax, right? So just really reducing stress hormones in general, helping your energy level in general, maintaining good systemic blood circulation. If you have any kind of pregnancy symptoms, for example, nausea, so pregnancy-related nausea, some clients suffer really badly from nausea, and we have really great results actually reducing the symptoms of nausea. So the aim is not really getting rid of nausea. I was never able to get rid of nausea, but alleviating nausea. Mm-hmm. So especially women who have to perform at work and they have high jobs, and they find nausea actually quite debilitating, especially at workplace. So when you are at home, it's easier.
It was awful for me when I was pregnant. When I was pregnant with Willow, I can remember I would have sometimes 3 or 4 days where I literally couldn't get out of bed, and I had my laptop in bed working from bed with my head on the pillow, because even to lift my head up, I felt like I was drunk, stuck on a boat out at sea, and the sea was really rough and we couldn't get back to land. Yes. And I couldn't get off.
I know. I mean, mind you, I mean, some of my clients are in such state that they can't, I mean, they can hardly walk into the treatment room because they feel so bad, and they are vomiting at the same time. So the aim is, again, alleviating nausea. It's not getting rid of nausea, but most of my clients do tell me that they feel amazing for 3-4 days after having the acupuncture, but then it comes back again. Now, so if you maintain your regular acupuncture treatments, this is also what I have noticed in practice, that I mean, probably you are unlikely to get very sick with nausea. But what I find more difficult than somebody at week 8 comes in and then it's really, really bad nausea. Sometimes it's much more difficult, you know, to get the result, because it will take a bit of time than when you like kind of test and then you carry on with your acupuncture.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I when I was pregnant with Willow, acupuncture hadn't come on my radar, but now I think I've got into such a habit of having it once a week. That it's just something I will continue. And is it something that you would continue all the way through pregnancy, or something that you recommend that you stop at like the second trimester? Or
So by the second trimester, you know, you are out of the woods, you know, you are safe now, safe with your pregnancy. So miscarriage rate is much higher in the first trimester, so this is basically what we are trying to kind of avoid as much as possible. When you are in your second trimester, I still carry, asking my clients, recommend my clients to carry on with the acupuncture. It's basically just a top-up treatment, like once a month, just checking in, everything is fine. When the tummy gets bigger, some women do develop a lower back pain, for example, we can address that really, really well. Or if you have any swellings, for example, so we can miss fluids. Carpal tunnel, the other one, carpal tunnel syndrome, right? So that can be quite debilitating. Acupuncture is amazing again to reduce the pain and then helping you to, you know, function better and sleep better at the same time.
Wow, very good. Thank you so much, Eva, for today and for answering everybody's questions and all of my questions as well. Where can people find you?
Yes, so I work in London, Wimpole Street, 57A, Wimpole Street, the London Acupuncture Clinic. I have a website as well, and then also I'm on Instagram. So if you just Google my name, it's Eva Stecz, S-T-E-C-Z. You can find my website, you can find all the links how to get in touch with me. You can get in touch with me personally, or you can just call the London Acupuncture Clinic and reception, and then you can book in with me.
Thank you so much. So I will put all of Eva's contact details in the show notes anyway, so you'll be able to find them and click on them and find Eva. Eva, thank you so much for today. I'm really grateful for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. And if this podcast is bringing you any value or helping you in any way, what would be really lovely and what we would really appreciate is if you could hop over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a little review. And if you have liked it, give us 5 stars, because this is the thing that will help other people find our podcast too. And that's how podcasts get seen. So it would cost nothing in terms of money and just a few seconds of your time, but would really mean so much to us. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back next time.